Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
I wonder what you think of when you hear the word wisdom. What comes to mind? Who do you imagine? My mind kind of gravitates towards wise old sages. So I think of people like Gandalf the Grey from Lord of the Rings, or maybe Master Yoda from Star Wars. Maybe your mind kind of goes to somewhere a bit closer to home. So you might think of maybe a parent or a grandparent, like somebody in your world who has been a constant source of wisdom to you. Generally speaking, we tend to associate wisdom with age. And it is true that some degree of wisdom comes from life experience and from longevity, but there isn't necessarily a correlation between wisdom and age. As somebody once correctly said, wisdom doesn't always come with age. Sometimes age shows up all by itself. And I think that's true. Although I did hear about a couple who were celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. And a young man went up to the old man and asked him, "So what is the secret to your long and happy marriage? Do you have any wisdom to share with me?" And the old man said, "Well, the secret to our long and happy marriage is that we make the time to go out to a restaurant for dinner twice a week. We go to our favorite place, we order our favorite food, we maybe enjoy a bottle of wine, maybe some dancing. I go on Tuesdays, she goes on Thursdays." Wisdom indeed, right? And you know, the wonderful thing about wisdom is you don't have to be old to get it. In fact, the younger you are, the more valuable wisdom is, which is why every encouragement in Scripture is to make it a priority and to get it sooner rather than later. Because the younger you are, the more valuable wisdom will be to you on this journey of life and faith. And part of what I love about this series that we're currently in is that it does emphasize that life is a journey and faith is a journey. And because of that, both are, you know, wonderful experiences of discovery, but at the same time, both are marked by uncertainty. And they're filled with mystery and with unpredictability. And so for that reason, wisdom is super important to this journey of faith. And so today I want to talk about wisdom, but understanding the role that wisdom plays in the journey of faith requires that we understand how wisdom works. And the way that wisdom shows up in the Bible is a little more complex and nuanced than maybe you might first assume. So let me explain what I mean by that. First of all, in the Bible, we have what I like to call wisdom 1.0. Wisdom 1.0. This is your basic entry-level wisdom. This is foundational wisdom, conventional wisdom. And it's captured beautifully in books like the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And what Wisdom 1.0 does is it tells us that God has built by divine design into the very fabric of the universe these laws and principles and cause and effect relationships that govern life on earth, that govern how life gets lived. And these laws are there to ensure that life is predictable and life is manageable and life is livable and ultimately enjoyable. To some degree, they're a reflection of his own nature and his character, but he has built them into the universe to make life possible. So one example would be, say, in nature, we have what we call the law of gravity. And you would be considered foolish if you disregarded or disrespected the law of gravity. If you walked up onto the top of this building and just threw yourself off, we would say that is foolish, that is unwise. Right? Because the law of gravity is universal. It applies to you as much as it applies to me. And the law of gravity is predictable. In fact, it's that element of predictability that makes these laws and these principles and these cause and effect relationships valuable. Because it's the consistency and the predictability that ensures that life is manageable and livable. It's not random. Right? Gravity isn't on one day and off the next. It's consistent. And that's precisely what makes life manageable. Another law would be, say, in nature, the law of sowing and reaping. Right? If you sow wheat seed, what are you going to reap? Wheat. All right? If you sow barley, what are you going to reap? Barley. If you grow apple trees, what are you going to harvest? Apples. Right? You grow olive trees, you're going to get olives. Right? So you would be considered foolish if you sowed wheat seed expecting to harvest barley, Or if you planted an apple tree expecting to grow olives, that'd be foolish. You'd be considered foolish if you took a whole bunch of wheat seed and scattered it on the kitchen floor at home on the tiles expecting it to grow. Because that's not how God designed the world to work. It just does not work according to that principle. And so Wisdom 1.0 essentially observes life and the universe and how things work and discerns lessons from out of those patterns and those principles and those laws and those cause and effect relationships and learns how to cooperate with them, how to submit to them, how to synchronize with them. And the book of Proverbs is jam-packed full of this kind of wisdom. Right? So for example, in Proverbs chapter 10 and reading from verse 24, reading from verse 30 to 34, it says, I went past the field of a sluggard. That's a metaphor for a lazy person. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds and the stone wall was in ruins. I know some of you are sitting there thinking, he just described our backyard, right? I applied my heart to what I observed, because this is what Wisdom 1.0 does. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. See, Wisdom 1.0, this foundational, conventional, observational wisdom, looks at life and observes these cause and effect relationships and draws lessons and conclusions from them and then learns to cooperate with them. So what the wisdom writer is saying here is that a life of hard work and diligence is going to lead to prosperity, but a life of laziness and slothfulness is going to lead to ruin. And then very often these types of observations are captured in short, punchy, powerful, pithy sayings that we call Proverbs. So in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, we have a shorthand version of the passage that we have just read. It says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. So somebody who observes that and embraces that wisdom will commit their life to hard work and diligence, which will lead to prosperity. But somebody who disregards it, who disrespects it, will give themselves to laziness and slothfulness and end up in ruin. The former is wise, the latter is foolish. So we would all do really well to deepen our understanding of this conventional observational foundational wisdom, this way that God has ordered the universe, the way that God has designed life to work. Because in a lot of ways, when we live by this conventional wisdom, we're like learning to dance. Anybody here love dancing? Give me a wave if you're a dancer and you love dancing, all right? Maybe, what, five of you, all right. Well, I'm with the rest of you because I'm not a great dancer, all right? When I dance, I look like a giraffe caught in an electric fence. So I'm not gonna demonstrate. It's not pretty. But you know, if you are a dancer and you learn to dance, you've got to learn the steps and you've got to learn the rhythm. You've got to learn the movement and you've got to learn the pace. And if you're being taught by someone, you have to follow the lead of the person who's teaching you. So you've got to learn to get into sync with them and you've got to master the steps and commit to the rhythm. And that's what Wisdom 1.0 is like. It's like learning to do the dance of life. It's like learning to do life successfully according to the patterns and the principles and the rules and the laws and the cause and effect relationships that God has embedded into the universe. Embrace them, love them, synchronize with them, apply them to your life, and you will be blessed and enjoy peace and prosperity. But disregard them, ignore them, despise them, and your life will very quickly end up in ruin and you will be among the foolish. Now, that may be where wisdom starts, but that is not where wisdom ends. Because in a lot of ways, Wisdom 1.0, this foundational kind of observational, conventional wisdom, is the shallow end of the wisdom pool. And there is another kind of wisdom that you and I need to embrace in this journey of life and faith, because you know as well as I do that life doesn't always go according to plan. It doesn't always work out the way we think it should. While these laws and these principles and these cause and effect relationships work most of the time, they don't work all of the time. Sometimes you sow your wheat seed. but then you get hit by a devastating drought and you harvest nothing. Sometimes you sow love into a relationship and all you reap is rejection. Sometimes these neatly defined laws and principles and cause and effect relationships that we find in books like Proverbs don't work the way they were designed to work. In other words, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the world. The world is broken, right? It's like there's a glitch in the matrix. It's like a fly in the soup of human experience. It's like a stone in the shoe. Something is not quite right. There's a crack in the glass. And you know what? You don't have to be a Christian to think that or to observe that. You might not be a person of faith. You might not be a believer. But if you're honest with yourself, you'll have to admit there is something wrong with the world. Something isn't quite right. Now, of course, as Christians, we would say that the Bible gives us one of the most compelling, most rational and logical explanations for why that is. And that is simply because all of creation, the entire universe, including you and me, suffers the effects of sin and death as a result of our rebellion against God. Humanity disconnected itself from the source of all life and love and peace and joy and order. And of course, when we cut ourselves off from the source of life and peace and love and joy and order, of course, we're going to experience chaos and brokenness and dysfunction and rejection and pain. That's why the world is the way it is. But it's precisely this brokenness that requires a different kind of wisdom. And this is where wisdom 2.0 comes in. And wisdom 2.0 is different because it's a more nuanced kind of wisdom. It's a more mature and more complex kind of wisdom that acknowledges the brokenness and the imperfection and the inconsistency of life. And this kind of wisdom is captured masterfully in books like the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes or the Old Testament book of Job, which are among the wisdom writings of the Old Testament. So, for example, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the author of Ecclesiastes captures the musings and the observations and the frustrations of a character called the teacher. And the teacher, just simply from the beginning to the end of the book, observes life in all its imperfection and its inconsistency and its brokenness. And he kind of gives expression to his frustration with this reality. If you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll know it's a pretty depressing book on one level, right? Because from beginning to end, The writer, through this character, the teacher, just observes and acknowledges and laments this imperfect nature of life. So, for example, in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11 and 12, it says, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not always to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. In other words, what he's saying is when I observe life, the reality of life, I've come to notice that life isn't always fair. And justice doesn't always prevail. And there isn't always a happy ending to the story, right? The frog doesn't always turn into a prince. Sometimes you meet the frog, you marry the frog, you take the frog home, you kiss the frog, 10 years later, you're still married to a frog. That's just the nature of life. It's just the way it is. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes good things happen to bad people. Sometimes the innocent suffer and sometimes the guilty go free. And there just seems to be a randomness to it all. There's an injustice and an unfairness about it. And so what Wisdom 2.0 says is, you know what? You and I really ought to live humbly and soberly and carefully, because you and I never know when we ourselves are going to be on the receiving end of that kind of injustice or unfairness or imperfection or inconsistency. You never know when you're going to find yourself the victim of randomness. And so what Wisdom 2.0 says is, hey, don't think that you are wise just because you figured out how the world works. Because just when you think you figured out how the world works, suddenly you get blindsided by this randomness. You get caught out by this imperfection and this inconsistency. And so in light of that, every single one of us ought to walk carefully and humbly and soberly with our trust and our confidence in God. because God alone can be trusted. God alone is sovereign and supreme. God alone is not bound by or limited to these principles of cause and effect, these relationships, these patterns. Of course, God is the author of them, but it's precisely because he is the author of them that he transcends them. He's not subject to them. He's not bound by them. He's not affected by the corruption that has tainted them. Nor is he bound by the limitations inherent in them. He transcends them. So God, who is alone sovereign and alone supreme, should be the object of our trust because we're having to navigate this imperfection and this inconsistency. That's why the writer of Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13, he says, now that all has been heard, right? This is his conclusion at the end. He says, now that we've made all this observation about the reality of life and its brokenness and its unexpectedness and its randomness and its injustice, now that all has been heard, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Fear God. And keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of mankind. Because God alone is sovereign and God alone is supreme and God alone can be trusted. And when you find yourself in those situations, those imperfect, unexpected, unwanted situations of life, put your trust and your confidence in God. So the message of Ecclesiastes and books like Job is simply, don't think that you are wise because you figured out how the world works. Because as soon as you have, you are no doubt going to find yourself the victim of this kind of unexpected randomness in life. Rather, put your faith and trust in God. So if we were going to compare wisdom 1.0 with wisdom 2.0, I would say it's like the difference between a map and a compass, right? Wisdom 1.0 is like a map. Wisdom 2.0 is like a compass. Like if I said to you, all right, I want you to make your way from this building to the bell tower in the city, and I gave you a map of the city of Perth, you'd be able to do that, no problem. You'd be able to follow the instructions, follow the path, follow the route, and you'll find your way to the bell tower because the map provides you with a detailed description of this particular territory that we're in right now. If, however, I dropped you in the middle of Melbourne with that same map, you wouldn't know where you are and you wouldn't know where to go, right? Because that map does not describe that territory. So what the Bible provides us with in books like Proverbs are wisdom maps. Wisdom maps. Yes, they are ancient maps, and yes, they are limited, but nevertheless, they are maps. They are guidance for us to navigate certain aspects of life's territory. Now, you will find out pretty quickly that those maps do not cover every aspect of human experience. They do not cover every possible situation or circumstance that you might find yourself in life. And so this is where wisdom 2.0 comes in. Because if I said to you, right, I want you to get from this building to the bell tower, and I don't have a map of the city of Perth, but I do have a compass. So if you take that compass and you keep traveling northwest or northwest, whatever the case may be, for 12 kilometers, you'll eventually find the bell tower. But you are going to have to improvise along the way. You're going to have to use your common sense. You're going to have to make some decisions by yourself, right? You're going to have to exercise your own discernment because you know what's going to happen? Eventually, you're going to come to a river that you didn't know was there. And you're going to have to ask yourself, how am I going to get across this river? Do I go left? Do I go right? Where's the nearest crossing point? You might need to ask somebody. Why? Because you don't have a map to tell you. You got to figure it out. Now, if you just keep going in the right direction, the direction you were given from this point, eventually you will get to the bell tower, but you've got to hold fast to that direction. So sometimes in life, you're going to find yourself in situations and the Bible has no wisdom map for the situation you are in. You're going to find yourself facing a circumstance that the Bible says nothing about. The good news is you can still travel in the direction of the wisdom of God if you move in a particular way. So every time you take your life in the direction of generosity, you are moving in the direction of God's wisdom. Doesn't matter what the circumstance, doesn't matter what the unique specific conditions are in that particular situation. If you move your life in the direction of generosity, you are moving in the direction of God's wisdom. If you move your life in the direction of integrity, you are moving in the direction of God's wisdom. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter whether it's a situation at home or at work, wherever it might be. If you move your life in the direction of integrity, guess what? You are moving in the direction of the wisdom of God. If you move your life in the direction of love, you are moving in the direction of God's wisdom. Because how many of you know sometimes you're going to find yourself in a situation and you're not going to know what to do? Because the Bible doesn't cover that particular piece of territory. It doesn't say anything about that aspect of human experience. And so you're going to be asking yourself the question, what do I do in this situation? Well, ask the question, what's the loving thing to do? What does love compel me to do? What does love require of me? Because every time we move our lives in the direction of love, guess what? We are moving our lives in the direction of God's wisdom. And so Wisdom 2.0 says, you know what? Life isn't perfect. Life is full of randomness and injustice and inconsistency and all types of unexpected, unwanted realities. But we can nevertheless continue to move in the direction of God's wisdom if we hold fast to that compass and we keep moving in the direction He wants us to go. And of course, the only thing better than a map and a compass, and no, it's not GPS, is a guide. It's a guide, all right? A guide. Like, for example, if I said to you, all right, I'm going to drop you in the outback in the middle of nowhere, and I'm going to give you 3 weeks to find your way back to Perth, and you can have a map, a compass, or a guide, as in like a bush ranger, somebody who has lived all his life in the bush, who knows the territory, who knows the lay of the land, who knows how to make fire with sticks, and he knows what berries you should eat and not eat, and knows what leaves you can use for toilet paper and not use for toilet paper. Like, which would you rather have, the map, the compass, or the guide? It's a no-brainer. I'd take the guide every single time. To have a personal presence in your life, somebody who's with you, who can walk beside you, who can guide you and lead you and point you in the right direction and help you navigate that territory, that would be invaluable. And friends, this is where Wisdom 3.0 comes in. Because Wisdom 3.0 tells us that God has invested the fullness of all His knowledge and wisdom in the person of His Son, Jesus. Jesus has come to us as the full expression of the wisdom of God in all its totality, which is why Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 2 to 4, he says, I want you to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want you to have complete confidence that you understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ Himself. In Him, that is in Jesus, lie all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, Paul is saying, hey, you know what? God has invested and embedded in the person of His Son, Jesus, and revealed through His Son, Jesus, the full scope of all His wisdom and all His knowledge. So if you have Jesus, you have the wisdom of God in all its fullness. He says a similar thing in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. He says, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ and Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. In other words, God's ultimate plan, His ultimate will, His ultimate way is all captured in and expressed through the person of His Son, Jesus. So Wisdom 3.0 says this, listen, the world is broken and it's marred by this inconsistency and this imperfection and this unwanted, unexpected reality of randomness and unfairness. So learn to put your trust and your confidence in God alone, because God alone is sovereign and God alone is supreme. And God alone is not bound by or affected by that imperfection and that inconsistency. And God has revealed Himself most clearly and profoundly in the person of Jesus. So put your faith and your trust and your confidence in Jesus and you will be wise. Or to put it another way, the wisest thing that any human being on earth can do is put their faith and trust in Jesus. The fullness of the wisdom of God. That's why Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, he says, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, Timothy, you know what? You're an incredibly wise young man because you have learned to put your trust in Jesus, who is the personification and ultimate expression of the wisdom of God. And if you have Jesus, you have all the wisdom you will ever need. Because you know the wonderful thing is, Jesus said to his disciples just before he ascended to the Father, he said, listen, I'm not going to leave you alone in this world. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you like orphans. He said, when I go back to the Father after my resurrection, I'm going to send one just like me, comforter, an advocate, a helper. I'm going to send my Spirit, and he's going to come and take up residence inside of you. And he's going to take everything that has been revealed to me. He'll make it known to you. He'll remind you of all that I said to you. And here's the good thing. He's going to be with you till the very end. He's going to be in you. And of course, he was talking about the Holy Spirit, who is called in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 14. He is called the Spirit of Wisdom. So when you become a follower of Jesus and you put your faith and trust in Jesus, guess what God does? God pours out his Spirit. God pours out the very Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Wisdom, into your heart and into your life. And from that moment on, you have a guide. You have a permanent presence in your life. You have the living God with you every moment of every day to whisper words of instruction, to give you guidance, to impart wisdom to your heart. So that when you do find yourself in a situation where you're feeling overwhelmed by the circumstance, when you're in a situation and you don't know what to do, you don't know what decision to make, you don't know how to figure it out, how to resolve it, you have the Spirit of the living God in you and with you, who is there to guide you and instruct you and encourage you and help you keep taking steps forward. Friends, I can't think of anything better or more valuable in this world that is so filled with brokenness and inconsistency and imperfection and so much suffering and injustice and randomness. I can't think of a more valuable gift than to have the presence of the living God with us and in us every step of the way, whispering by his Spirit to our hearts, saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. Go here, don't go there. Say this, don't say that. What a precious gift. And you know, the wonderful thing is in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, just let him ask, and God will give generously, liberally, without finding fault. And this morning, to close our time together, I want to take a moment to pray. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me. I want to pray that God, by his Spirit in us, would impart wisdom to us for whatever it is that you're facing. Because I sense today that there are some people here and you have been agonizing over a situation. It might be at home, might be in your marriage, might be in work, might be in relation to your teenage children. And you've been agonizing over what to do. Because you know what? The Bible doesn't give you a wisdom map for that situation. It doesn't give you specific instruction. It doesn't tell you exactly what to do. And so you've been agonizing over it. Well, I've got good news for you. God is going to whisper words of wisdom to your heart, and he's going to show you what to do and tell you where to go and guide you in how to respond. And you're going to be able to move forward in that situation.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.